I appreciate the Lord's presence that's here today. And I appreciate everybody that's willing to obey the Lord. That's what I want you to do. The Lord wants you to walk around the altar. That's what we want. If he wants you to testify, if he wants you to sing, run, shout, whatever he wants you to do this morning, that's what we want. That's what we need. We need people to step out as the Spirit of God moves. I was thinking as Sister Brittany and they were singing that song this morning, and it said that he's an on-time God. And the Bible said that God is our refuge and strength, and that he is a very present help in trouble. That word present means he's right here, right now. He's an on-time God. It was prophesied about the coming of Christ, and it said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God was with us. God's going to be. No, he said God with. That means he's present. He's right now. He's right here. He's a right now God. And I'm glad this morning that I serve a right now God. I'm glad this morning that I'm not serving a memory of a God that used to be or somebody that used to live. But I'm serving one that is on the throne right now. And he is in the control of the affairs of men and women, boys and girls. And I'm so glad this morning that he is a very present help in the time of need. And then the latter part of that song, at the last verse, I believe it was, it said you can ask the 5,000 hungry souls that were fed, said down by the river there, and said that they were fed with 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And it said, and I may get it messed up, but it said, what a miracle that he performed that day. What he did way back then, he'll do the same for you and me. In other words, what God has done for early saints in the early church, he'll be faithful to do for us. He'll bless us. He'll help us. He'll minister to us. I believe that's the reason why the Lord told Joshua when they come across the Jordan River, he told them to set up the 12 stones on the outer part of the river. He said, there's going to come a time your children are going to ask you, what do these stones mean? And you're going to tell them, hey, there was a time we needed God to move, and he did. But not only was it a reminder, and I've said it here before, but not only, Brother Kenny, was it a reminder of what God had done in the past, but it was saying to future generations, I'll do the same for you. I'll bless you. I'll part your Jordan rivers when you need me to. I'll heal your body when you're sick. I'll save your children when they're lost. I'll meet your needs. Amen. That's what those stones say. That's what that monument speaks to us. And I'm so glad that I've got some monuments in my life where I can point you to a time and a place where God moved for me. And God helped me and God blessed me. And I don't want to ever forget what the Lord's done for me. Do you? I appreciate the way the Lord's moving this morning in the service. And I want you to obey the Lord this morning. I want you to be mindful of the Spirit of God. I feel like Brother Monty felt, like he said, the Lord is wanting to help us. And so let's let him help us this morning. It's only about 10 after 12. So let's let the Lord minister to us and help us this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a couple different places, and I'll try not to hold you too long this morning. And I didn't know if I'd get to go this way. Didn't know how the service was going to go, and I thought maybe we'd take off with it, but for some reason it didn't go all the way through like it looked like it was going to. But I'd like to say I do feel something on my heart, and the Lord has been dealing with me this past week and in previous weeks about some things, and dealing with me about preaching some things and talking about some things. And I want you to pray for me because I need the Lord's help. And I need him to touch me this morning. I know he's able to do that. The book of Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. There's one verse of scripture here, then we're going to turn to another place. It said, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let me read it again. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, very familiar text. If you're there, say amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice it said that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The book of John chapter 3. Please bear with me this morning. John chapter 3. Verse 1 through 8. I know the reading's lengthy this morning, but I feel like this is what the Lord would have me read to you this morning. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where or whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Verse 3 said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. I ask you to pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for how you helped and blessed. Lord, we don't want to keep your people too long this morning, but we feel on our hearts a burden to preach your word, God. And I ask you to give us the anointing and the touch of God. Give us clarity of speech. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. And the church says, amen. He said in our first scripture I read to you, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God has a will. And I believe that when we read the Bible, we find that there are some things that he tells us that are absolutely necessary, that we cannot make it without these things. They're necessary. They are essential. And it tells us in our text that we are to understand what his will is for our lives. That word will, it means in the original Greek, it implies this is God's choice for us. This is God's desire to us. This is God's pleasure for us. This, and not only that, it's not an option. It is a command. Amen. It's a command. It is essential. It is necessary. It is something that we have got to have. And I want to talk about that this morning. There must be, and we call it salvation. But the Bible gives another word for it. And he calls it regeneration. You remember where Paul was speaking in one place, and he talked about, you know, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and disobedient and deceived and serving divers lusts and pleasures and living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And he talked about after that the kindness and love of God. You know, our Savior toward man appeared. It wasn't by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy. Amen. And then he goes on to say, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That word regeneration, it means new birth. It means to beget. You remember in the Old Testament, there were some chapters that were designated to give us genealogies, and it said so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. In other words, children were born, and generations were coming along. And this word regeneration means new birth, a new generation. Amen. And really, this is what God's been dealing with my heart about. And young folks, young people especially this morning, I want you to hear this, Pastor, because I've got a burden on my heart to preach to us. That we need to understand what the will of God is. And there's something that I feel like, Brother Rodney, that God's been impressing upon me for here for several weeks now, that we talk about salvation. We talk about being born again. We talk about being saved. And our children, they hear the terminology. And they have somewhat of a knowledge of what it means. But do they really understand the concept? Do they really understand why we need to be saved? And do they understand how we are to be saved? Do they understand why we can be saved? And I don't know, I pray that God would, in my preaching this morning, would help me to be able to teach a little bit also, because I want them to understand it is absolutely necessary. That regeneration, that rebirth, it is the will of God. And Jesus said, that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There are some foundational truths. And let me tell you, the devil has done his dead level best to wash away these truths. The devil has done his best to hinder and to corrupt and to pervert, because he knows that they are absolutely essential. And if he can cause our young folks not to understand what it means to be saved and why we need to be saved, and it needs to be something that we believe and we know and we are assured of, and we can share with others why they need to be saved. It is the will of God that we be regenerated, that we be saved. That's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. He was a good man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a man that knew what it was to keep God's moral law. And I don't believe that as far as the outward was concerned, that you probably could have found anything wrong in the life of Nicodemus. But he comes to Jesus and he says, remember, he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for how can you do these things except God be with you? Jesus, he's not flattered by this. He's not taken away by this. But brother, he gets right down to the root of the matter. He gets right down to the most important part. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to start this morning with the most important part. The beginning, and maybe not the most important, but just as important. And without it, we will not see the kingdom of God. Without it, we cannot go to heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, except a man be regenerated, a man being saved from his sin, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, how can a man that's old be born again? Can he enter back into his mother's womb? In other words, that's impossible. But Jesus said, hey, I'm not talking about in the natural, Nicodemus. I'm talking about in the spiritual. He said, that which is born of the flesh, that's flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, you don't understand the wind, but you hear it and you see the effects of it. Amen. And it's real. Even though you can't see it and fully understand it. And that's what he was saying about salvation. It's just as real. It's as real as the wind. And it is necessary. And if you are not born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It is God's will for us to be saved, for us to be regenerated. I want to talk to us this morning for a little bit about the necessity of regenerate. Why? Preacher, why do I need to be saved? Why do I need to go to an altar and be saved and give my heart to God? The Bible, and I don't have time to go through it all, but there's many scriptures that establish the fact that there is a sin principle. The Bible said in Psalms 14, 2 and 3. Y'all pray for me, church. I'm really wanting our young folks to get a hold of this. I want them to understand that why we're doing what we're doing, it's important. There's a reason for it. And it's not something that's optional, but it's something that is absolutely necessary. The Bible said in Psalms 14, 2 and 3, that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And he said this in verse number 3, they are all gone aside. That word all, it includes every one of us. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that has ever been brought into this world. We fall under this. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. When Adam and Eve sinned, in the very beginning, they rebelled against God. God said, don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they did. And they rebelled. And because of that, the Bible said, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why do I need to be saved? Because you're a sinner by birth. That little baby that you hold, Brother Eric, that's a precious boy you got. Oh, especially when you make them funny noises and he laughs at you. And I've often wondered, what are they thinking when they're laughing? They're probably thinking, this guy's lost his mind. You know, and he just laughs and giggles and, you know, just makes, and oh, it's a picture of innocence. It's a picture of purity. It is in one sense. But let me tell you something. There's a potential in that little baby to be a murderer. There's a potential in that little baby to be an adulterer. There is a potential in that little baby to be a whoremonger or a harlot. Or some awful thing. You know that? The potential's there. It's not something learned. It's something inherited. Young folks, when you're born, you are born with a nature to rebel against God. And I know that we do teach our children bad habits sometimes. Nod your heads, parents. You know we have. Every one of us have. But listen, if we don't ever teach a bad habit to our children, oh yes, it's in there. And you don't have to teach them how to to lie. You don't have to teach them how to steal. You don't have to teach them how to be deceptive. You don't have to teach them how to be back talkers. You don't have to teach them any of these things, because they are born with a nature to rebel and resist. That's in them. I said it's in them to do wrong. That's the sin principle. And there's actually some people that don't believe that. But the Bible says, David said in Psalms 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In other words, David was saying, I was born with something in me that is an enemy of God. That's why, young folks, you need to be saved. Because if you are not saved, you may seem to be a good young person, and you may not back talk your mother and your father, and you may obey the rules of your house, and you may not cuss and do all these other things, but there's something in you, and it's called sin. And if you don't get that sin out, then you will die lost and go to a devil's hell. I've heard testimonies of young people that you asked them, when did you get saved? They don't even remember that they got saved. They were just raised right, and they just kind of grew up in it. But this is not something that you grow up in. It's just something that you're born into. This ain't something that you're raised in. This is something that you are born into. And I tell you, it's absolutely necessary for you to be saved, because you are a sinner by birth. All we, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep. Isaiah was a man that God was using, but he was including himself. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I know I'm preaching elementary stuff this morning, but I'm going to tell you, we were losing this. And oh God, give us a people that know what it means to be saved and understands it and understands the importance of God. Help our young folks to understand what I'm preaching here this morning. The reason why you must be born again. The reason why you must be regenerated. Because you were born with a nature to rebel and sin against God. And that's what Isaiah was saying. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Paul said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and worketh and sinneth not. What's he saying? We need to be saved because we are sinners by birth. There's probably going to be people in hell that never cussed in their life. I believe it. There's going to be people in hell that never backtalked or disrespected their mother or father. Why do people die lost? Because if they die with sin in their life, and they die with an unconverted heart. I'm trying to make you understand this. It's necessary, because you are a sinner by birth. Or you were a sinner by birth. Whatever the case may be here this morning, we needed to be saved because we were sinners. We were enemies. We were outcasts. We were alienated from the life of God. And that's why it's necessary. But now I want to talk to you about the reason why you can be. The person that made it possible that you could be saved. Remember, right after the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, the Bible tells us that God pronounced judgment on the man. He pronounced judgment on the woman. And he pronounced judgment on the devil. And he said this, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. And he said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I tell you what God was doing in the very beginning of man's failure and man's sin, Brother Ben. God was saying to the world and to the devil, you've got them now, but I'm going to get them back, because I'm sending a Savior. I'm sending a Messiah. I'm sending one that's going to break the bondage of sin. I'm sending one that's going to liberate and set free. I'm sending one that's going to take you out of take them out of your control. That's what he was saying. Isaiah 53, it mentions about who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. You remember. And he talked about Christ, said he shall grow up before them as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He's talking about Jesus. And then I read to you over there in Isaiah 53 and 6 where he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But let me tell you, that verse didn't stop there. That verse did not stop there, Brother Tim, but it kept on going. And it said, and the Lord hath laid on him. Who's he talking about? He's talking about what John was talking about in John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And it said in verse 14 of John 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's he talking about? He's talking about my Jesus. He's talking about my Savior. He's talking about my Lord. John the Baptist was baptizing by the river, and he seen him coming, and he done told him, said, there's coming one after me. I'm not the one you're looking for. I'm just the messenger that's announcing the arrival of the great one. Oh, he said, there's coming one after me who's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he said, when he comes, he's going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, that's what he said. And then the Bible said he's baptizing by the River Jordan. And there he comes. And John lifts up his eyes and he sees him in the distance. And I can see him now. Everybody, look at me. I've got a special announcement. You ask, where's he at? When's the Messiah coming? You even asked me if I was the Messiah. Let me tell you, there he is, right there. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad for a Savior that when we were in our sin, that he came down to this earth to make provision for our salvation. The reason why you can be saved is because of Jesus Christ. And he is the only avenue. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father. He's the author. He is the author of our salvation. I'm almost finished, really. I want to tell you about the conditions. What you say, brother, I understand why I need to be saved, because I'm a sinner. And I understand that Jesus is the only one that can save. But how can I be saved? And this is something that I've got scriptures wrote down, and this is something I didn't write down, but I was meditating and praying about it last night. Now I felt the Spirit of God deal with me. And I called one of my children over. I said, come up here and sit in my lap. I want to talk to you for a minute. And I asked him, I said, have you ever felt the Spirit of God deal with you? When you was in church, maybe during a song or preaching, have you ever felt the Spirit of God drawing you? And his response was, yes, Dad, I have. And I said, son, if you feel that, you need to surrender to the Lord. The first thing, the first condition of salvation is he's got to deal with your heart. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him. And I'd like to say to young folks here this morning, if you're not saved, I don't care what the age is, if you are feeling the Spirit of God, you may not be able to understand it, but if you are feeling a drawing or a pull to get you to go down to this altar and pray, that's the Spirit of God. And you know what God's saying? He's saying you can be saved. That's the first condition. He's got to draw you. He's got to convict you. And he's got to deal with your heart. And Sister Hart, we've got to warn them of the danger of if we reject him too many times, he may not deal with us anymore. Amen. If we say no to the Spirit of God too many times, he may refuse to call us. He may refuse to draw us. He will not strive with us forever. He said, my spirit shall not always strive. And so if there's anybody here from the youngest to the oldest that's feeling any drawing whatsoever, that's the Spirit of God saying you need to be saved. And that's the first condition of being regenerated and born again. And I want to encourage you, don't resist it. Don't shut it. Amen. Don't refuse. Because it's dangerous. Oh, to say no to the Spirit of God. Oh, I hope the Lord's helping you get what I'm trying to preach to you this morning. Because I feel it on my heart, heavy. He's got to draw you first. And then when you come, you must confess your sins. The Bible says, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. You must confess, I am a sinner and I have no one to blame but me. And yes, Lord, I have been guilty of sin. Now listen, he said confess our sin. Confess our sins. And I do think we ought to confess to him everything that we know we're guilty of. But there's no way we can remember all of those things. But when you've got an honest heart and you say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've rebelled against your word. I've done things I shouldn't have done. Lord, I've disobeyed you. I've been disrespectful to my parents. When they told me to do something, I backtalked them. When they told me to do something, I did what they said, but I murmured under my breath. And God, that's a sin. And I can't do that. I can't do that. And I'm asking you, do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to confess your sins. You have got to admit. What did David say? David said in Psalms 51, he said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. What's he saying? I deserve death. And if that's what I get, I deserve what I get. But Sister Hart, you had it right. Oh, thank God for mercy. Mercy. God's love and mercy. That we can bring all of our sin and all of our wrong and lay it on the altar of God's mercy. And God say, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You must confess. You've got to come clean with God. Y'all believe that?
Yes, sir.
Not only confess, but he said in Proverbs 28, 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper.
Right.
But whoso confesseth and forsaketh.
Yes.
How can I be saved? You've got to feel the drawing of God's Spirit. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to acknowledge you're the one that's guilty. And you're the blame and nobody else. And then you have got to make an about face. You've got to turn away from your sin. And you've got to walk and run as far away from it as you possibly can. Oh, you hear me here this morning? Oh, that's what he said you got to do. You got to forsake it. You got to give it up. You got to lay it down, never to pick it up again. You got to do like Elijah did when he got to following God's man. He took the oxen and he slew it, Brother Ben, and he took the plow and he burned it. He said, I'm not going back to that anymore. I'm not going to be that anymore. I'm not going to be tempted with that anymore. I'm going to lay it aside. I'm going to throw away the blue jeans ladies. I'm going to throw away the ungodly magazines in the world. I'm turning away from my sin. That's what it takes to be saved. Honest confession and a forsaking and a running from it with everything that is within you. Yes, you will make some mistakes along the way. But there's a difference in coming short because we're human. And deliberately doing that God saved us from. There's a big difference. How do I be saved? Boy, it's quiet here this morning. And I may not be making any sense whatsoever, but I'm feeling this on my heart. It's God's will for you to be saved. And there's conditions. It's not just a cheap I'm sorry, but it's a confessing and a turning away from us. And following God with everything that is within your heart and life. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Listen, this is long and I'm throwing a whole lot of stuff in a little bit of time. I hadn't actually been preaching about 25 minutes. If it seems longer, it's my fault, but I'm just telling you. You gotta
feel the call of God, the drawing of God. You gotta confess your sin, you gotta forsake your sin, and you gotta trust in Jesus for salvation.
You gotta realize it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy. I cannot save myself. I cannot make a New Year's resolution and better myself. I must go to the one that's perfect and sinless and holy and blameless and fall at His feet and let His mercy cover my soul. You gotta trust in what Jesus did for you. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then the results. The glorious results. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You remember when God created the world? And after He done each thing, the Bible said that He saw that it was good. And then, I forget which one it was, but I believe I'm right. In one place He said He saw that it was very good. Well, can you see after God saves that old drunk? After God saves that old harlot? Or after God saves that young child that had sin in his life, whatever the case may be, and he changed that life and he changed that heart and he looked at that new creation and he said, that's very, very, very good. Oh, hallelujah. That's a good thing. That's the greatest thing. That's the greatest. You know what the greatest creation is? Recreation. When God takes a man that's bound by sin, that's bound by drugs, that's bound by ungodliness, that's bound by whatever you are bound by, and they come and they give their hearts to God and He changes them and He reshapes them. Remember what He said, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers and all those other things. But He said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What is the result? It's a new creation. It's a brand new life. It's a new beginning. Amen. It's when God gives a man another chance. I don't know, but there might be somebody here this morning. You said, if I could just go back, turn the hands of time, I would do some things differently. If I had a chance to do it all over again, I wouldn't make that choice that I made. Well, in some ways, you can never redo what you've done. But you can get a second chance. Y'all believe that tonight, today? You can get a brand new beginning. One man said, today is the beginning of the rest of your life. And yes, you've made bad choices and bad decisions and done bad things, but you have an opportunity today to start all over again. Brand new. It's God's will. Will you stand tonight, today? The will of God. It is God's will for you to be saved. You need to be saved because you're a sinner by birth. And the only way to change that position is salvation. You can be saved because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever should believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How can I get saved, Brother Jamie? If you feel God dealing with you, that's the first step. What you need to do is you need to step out, come to this altar. And you need to confess your sins. God, I'm guilty. And I don't deserve any of your mercy. But I'm asking you, Lord, for mercy. And you know what He'll do? He'll give you mercy. Y'all believe that? And then you've got to forsake. You got to make up in your mind, I'm not going that way by the grace of God. And trust what Jesus did for you at Calvary. And you can have a brand new beginning. Sister Leanne, will you get us a song this morning? I wonder, is there anybody here this morning? You feel the call of God dealing with your heart. You need to be saved. You realize this morning, I'm not saved. I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved. And you feel the Spirit of God dealing with your heart. I want to ask you to come this morning. I want to ask you to come this morning. Why don't you let God give you a brand new beginning? Why don't you let God give you a brand new start? You can redeem the time, the Bible said. You got to start by giving your heart to Christ. Is there any young folks here? Maybe there's a child here. And I hope, I feel like I failed in this, but I hope that maybe somebody was understanding what I was trying to preach to you this morning. Is there a child in here this morning that you feel the Spirit of God dealing with your heart? You feel like you need to pray. And you realize, I need to pray. You may not understand. You may not understand a lot of what I said, but you can understand when God's dealing with your heart. You may not understand all of the principles of sin and all the things that I'm talking about. But when God touches your heart, young person, you can understand that's God dealing with you. And He's wanting to do something for you this morning. You feel that in your heart? Is there any young folks this morning that feels God dealing and drawing? Amen. Is there somebody here that feels God's conviction? Amen. What about it, saints? Let's gather in the altars and seek the Lord. And let's pray that God would help us. Let's pray that God would help our young folks to understand why they need to be saved and why they can be saved and what they need to do to be saved. And let's pray that God would help them to one day experience the result of salvation.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me. See on the porch, He's waiting and watching. Watching.